Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we defiantly prepare for a late-season run by the Green and Gold, starting with a showdown with the Ravens on Saturday. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Malik Willis.
We got the bad. We got
Keyshawn Nixon.
We got the ugly. We got
Romeo Doubs in a performance where he played well the rest of the game, Corey, but then at the very most important moment, some ugly stuff from Romeo. How you doing, Corey? Still annoyed by the Green Bay Packers?
100%. I think I'm going to be annoyed until we figure out what the hell's going on with Jordan Love.
Yeah, I feel that. Won't have any updates most likely until tomorrow. We're recording live here on Monday, but Tuesday is our first injury report this week with a Saturday game.
Yeah.
Not a fan of it, obviously. Not a fan of it. And, you know, the fact that there is no kind of information today makes it all the more stressful, you know, as a Packers fan. I get it. Like, we are completely in the dark. And thanks to everybody who is joining us live here on a very special Monday edition of Packer Transplants Live, having to juggle a lot of stuff with the holidays. Had to go early this week. We appreciate each and every one of you who are joining us here today. It's a couple days now removed from the meltdown in Chicago. Not great, Corey. I'm having issues trying to get over it as well. It's you know, a game the Packers had total control of until they pissed it all away there at the end. Not fun. Not fun, as it were. Before we get going, before we dive into it all, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law. Support for this episode of Packer Transplants comes from Nicolay Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolay Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. All right, Banky. You ready to get into it? Let's get into it. Let's get into the hotness right off the bat. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know we don't show footage here anymore during the hotness, but through the magic of pictures, we're going to show you the hotness, which was Malik Willis's touchdown pass to Romeo Doubs. Let's take a look here. Here's Malik Willis ready to throw the ball, and here is Romeo Doubs catching the touchdown. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. That's the hotness brought to you via the magic of the photograph. I mean, it was a baller throw. Great job looking off the safety, making sure he's got that one-on-one. Doubs beats the guy clean off the line. Hot stuff, Banky. Hot stuff.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm just like so in shell shock. I just, you know, after the Ravens game, I had this whole like, okay,
you
know, you know what?
Broncos game.
Yeah, the Broncos game, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Fuck the Packers right now. I'm so annoyed with them. I feel like they're so annoying. Like, it's like we do not have a killer instinct. We have no closers on this team besides Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. Literally. I was talking about this.
You're probably not wrong.
I was on an inaugural podcast, and this one thing that annoys me about, like, okay, all the other stuff in perspective, we weren't the most injured team. Get that out of your way. Like, this is the NFL, all this stuff. But the closers, the killer closers, we have two, and they're both injured right now. And that's, I think, what's really the most annoying. It's the fact that, you know, guys can't close games. And this team is so talented. They might be the most talented team in the NFL in 2025. And, you know, it's just like, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum since the beginning. They have not found a way to solidify this line. I opened up Twitter and I saw Jordan Morgan. Oh my God. Oh my God. I
the
saw
one
play.
The one play where he got beat, and that's specifically, I think, the play where Malik Willis
gets
got hurt.
Pushed over.
Yeah. It's unfortunate too, because obviously that colors everybody's perspective, but he actually,
I know he had a good game. I know he had a decent game. I know he had a decent game, but the thing is, this is what I talk about closers. This is my thing. Like closers. Romeo Doubs has a great game and can't fucking close the onside kick. Jordan Morgan has a great game and then all of a sudden gets pushed over like a little fucking toy and Malik Willis gets injured. And it's like, Sean Ryan, he's had four pretty good games at center, and I'm not saying it's his fault. And I'm not saying it's his fault, but clearly two guys who don't get to play with each other, and at the key moment, you can't fucking you can't snap the ball, and you can't and then third and one. And it's like, and talk about coach closers. Third and one is going to haunt this team in 2025 for the rest of our fucking lives. And it's so annoying. If I see third and one, I'm going to cry. I'm just going to cry. As soon as it's third and one, I'm just going to start crying.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I was going to get to this after the news, but we'll get to it now. Everything you're saying, completely understandable, right? I fully support your frustration. I totally get it. Here's my thing. Like, you talk about whether it's closers, whether it's starters, whether it's core players, however you want to, like, whatever lens you want to look through. At this point, we've seen so many times where you're talking about the injuries. How many guys have we seen step up, step into roles, and deliver? Whether it is Malik Willis, you know, whether it is Emmanuel Wilson, whenever Jacobs has to go out, you know, you look on the other side, you got Brenton Cox Jr. coming in first action of the year, and he played a really good game. Like, the depth is there and it has delivered, but none of that is going to matter. None of that will be of consequence if the core players on this team, the frontline starter types, if they don't play significantly more, I mean, you can say better, consistently, or to your point, Corey, at the end, at the most high leverage points of the game, none of it's going to matter, right? You can talk about Romeo Doubs having a good game, which he did, and then the very most important moment, he messes up, right? Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn is a core component of this defense, and this is 2 weeks in a row where he has been burned to a crisp at the most inopportune times, you know? And then, you know, you can pull back and say, well, you know, the other team gets paid too, and they made the plays. I get all that, right? But if you want to go on a run, if you want to try and become a champion, your best players have to play their best. Rashawn Gary, MIA again. You know, yes, a handful of pressures here or there. Certainly did a nice job flushing the quarterback out of the pocket at times. But there's certainly plenty of tape to look at where he just shuts it down. He's freaking jogging out there. He used to be the high motor guy, the guy who never gave up. Unless those types of players step up and become way more consistent and own it a whole hell of a lot more, it's going to get late real early in these next couple weeks. That's the thing. Your old players are playing their roles. Your main characters have to step up more than anything else on this team.
I mean, no one more than Romeo Doubs. If you look at Romeo Doubs, there's no one who has been a supporting character this season than Romeo Doubs. He has just not decided to have main character energy, and it's really sad because he had a good game, but the drops this season, he's the worst. He, of all the starters, he's the worst dropper. There's other worst droppers, but they don't play as much.
Right.
And he's had the most opportunities. The fact that he's your hands guy, and the fact of, you know, look, I really appreciate him talking after, and I think, you know, you gotta, the fact that he manned up, but the fact that you're like, the excuse is, oh, I shouldn't have backed up three times. Like, well, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Like, what?
Yeah.
And
what's,
and
really...
also, I do have a beef. I have a beef with people on the internet.
You have a beef, like, Corey? Get out of here.
Trevor, I'm calling out Trevor, okay? People that are comparing this regular season game to the 2014 NFC Championship, it's not a comparison. It has nothing to do with it. And all you're doing is trying to create trauma, and I don't like it. Okay? You're just trying to be traumatic.
I know Hunter over at the radio station.
Yeah, I haven't followed that fucking guy.
Instant.
That guy's a Brewers fan posting a thing. Oh, I talk about the Brewers every day. Let me post a video about the 2014 NFC. Bro, you don't even know anything about the Packers. Shut up. I haven't followed that jackass. Luckily,
Hunter's
I haven't followed him before
guy.
That.
Stop.
I don't give a shit. Don't fucking trauma bond me, bro. Don't.
Wait, what did you just
call
him?
Trauma, I don't go. Whatever. Don't trigger me. Just don't do it. Okay? I don't like it.
You're saying
if you talk about the Brewers and then all of a sudden, you know what? I don't talk about the Brewers until the playoffs. So people that don't talk about the Packers, wait till the playoffs. Okay?
Okay.
Don't compare a playoff game to a regular season game because they're not anything alike, by the way.
Love it. Love it. I mean, you're not wrong when it comes to the stakes. Absolutely correct. See, look, even us, Corey, the ultimate lot of ball game left. Packers can do it. We're arguing and annoyed. Like, that's how rough it is at the moment in these Packers.
I can't even stand the fucking press conference by Matt LaFleur. Like, bro, call somebody out, bro. Bro. I get it. I get you got to protect your players. But, like, okay, so... Ugh. It's just like, is anybody going to call out Rashawn Gary, or is everybody just going to make excuses for him? I've watched four press conferences now, and it's just excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. It's so annoying, and I don't want anybody fired. I just want some fire lit under somebody's ass. It's like Micah leaves, and we have no fire. Zero.
All right. I'm sure we're going to dive into all of it throughout the show. Let's get to some Packers news, which is less than great. Don't want to, like, trauma bond you or anything, but Jordan Love is in concussion protocol, as we discussed at the top of the show. Hopefully we get better news tomorrow. Look, there's zero way, and anybody who tells you they know, they don't know a thing when it comes to how long he'll be in the protocol. Every single head injury is different. Some guys... they're out of the protocol in no time at all. Some guys, it'll be weeks. So it really depends. And the fact that it's his first concussion in the NFL is obviously a plus, you know, but there is no information until tomorrow. So there's literally no need to speculate on anything other than your starting quarterback is in the concussion protocol. So, Corey, what will you do? You're going to count on your backup quarterback, right? Well, guess what? Malik Willis is dealing with a shoulder injury. Da, 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 da. That's right.
Cade
Malik
Reed.
Willis has,
here we come.
Or Josh Jacobs as your emergency QBs. Well, Clayton Tune is your guy on the practice squad.
Who the
we'll
fuck
see
is
if
that?
He gets the quarterback they picked up this offseason.
Is that summer. The guy on the international squad that doesn't count as a
no,
thing?
No. Clayton Tune is...
Are they really going to bring him up from the practice squad?
We'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, dear. I'd rather have Jaden Reed. I'm in on Jaden Reed. I can get behind
Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed, a quarterback?
I can't get behind Clayton, whatever the fuck his name is. Tune, whatever the hell. I need... I'd rather have Josh Jacobs and whoever the hell that is. Although, you know what? If Josh Jacobs not on a snap count... That's hot.
Right.
That's hot. Especially if he just runs it every time and then he throws it one time. That would be great.
Let's
direct snap runs.
I mean, unfortunately, we have to wait till we see a injury report tomorrow, where I suspect Josh Jacobs will be on the injury report. You know,
yeah.
In fact, he couldn't even finish the game in Chicago. Doesn't bode well, but we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, how much was of him not? I know Matt said it wasn't, but how much of him not finishing the game? Matt alluded to the fact that Wilson was running really well, and that's why didn't pull, that he didn't bring Jacobs back in.
Ben Siemens just was riding the hot hand.
And,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
a good question.
Like,
it was a very good question. Yeah.
Yeah, Savion Williams. Mean, so maybe we'll have a mix of Savion Williams, Jaden Reed, and Josh Jacobs.
Could you imagine
quarterback
if LaFleur and Stenovich cobble together some like triple option wishbone backfield?
I'm here for it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm here for it.
It's
I'm,
the Ravens.
I'm here. Like at
amazing.
This point.
I mean, hell, look what they did with 1 week last year heading into that week two game with Malik Willis that no one really saw coming. All the spin action stuff, right? Like, who knows, dude? It'd be hilarious.
It was interesting hearing LaFleur talk about, you know, I think Jason brought up, like, you know, why don't you play Malik Willis more in the regular season? Like, not as a backup, right? But
packages.
Just this whole thing we've been talking about. Yeah. Like, yeah, and that was probably the most fascinating thing that Matt said in the press conference yesterday, that was like what his mindset is around that and how much time it takes to devote to that. And then it was also interesting when you hear the fact that Romeo Doubs actually practiced the onside kick.
Oh yeah,
that
repped it all week.
Mind.
Repped it all week, baby.
Hey.
That's what I'm like. The Versace
Sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes you just wish Brandon Bostic was back there, you know?
Oh, you said it! Holy cow, you said it! Amazing. That's amazing. But this is where I'm like, I get Versace's units have been, like, inconsistent all season long and have certainly led to some losses, no doubt about it. But at some point, the player has to execute. Like, legit had him in position. Repped it
all
week.
That's 100% on Romeo Doubs.
I don't
understand.
Know what more Rich Versace is supposed to do there.
I really don't get the Bisaccia hate. I have more hate for our specialists than I do for Bisaccia.
You just hate kickers, so that's understandable.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the two weakest links on our – I mean, Brandon McManus is the weakest link on our team, and it's not even close, like, you know, for the season. Maybe
no,
right
he
now
– He had a rough stretch, but he's been good. He's been good on the back half. He's been good on the back half of the year.
He's been good on the back half. That's true. He hasn't kicked low, or he hasn't at least. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't get the. I mean, people straight up are like it's crazy. I don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess it's the same people that want to like fire people and that like they just don't.
Everybody's
got to
get fired. Everybody wants their pound of flesh. That's the internet.
Like,
you know, it's engineered that way.
But
you know,
the Bisaccia like, hate comes from actual smart people, or at least people that I know.
Some of it does, yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Well, you know.
It's so
look,
bizarre.
It's because it's a pattern of ineffectiveness, inconsistency, and or just straight up costing them games. So when it happens again, people are automatically going to reach for that. Even though, again, I don't know what else he's supposed to do. Like, he's got Doubs in the position he's supposed to be in to win them the game if the player just executes. And I know I hear people like, well, you shouldn't be out there. Give me a break. Like, they have their one of their most veteran wide receivers on the hands team. Yes, he should be out there. Like, what are you talking about? Come back from La La Land. The last note in Packers news, which is, again, very unfortunate. John Fitzpatrick tore his Achilles in that game, Corey. We're down to Luke Musgrave, man. It's kind of crazy. Don't love it. We'll see. I know LaFleur said there's a plan. He's talked to Goody. Got to suspect they'll probably bring up some practice squad folks and maybe sign someone. But we'll see all that tomorrow. Very, very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Who can they sign besides Mercedes Lewis?
Mercedes Lewis off the Denver practice squad. Let's go. Or maybe Tom Crabtree will come out of retirement, you know, like Phillip Rivers did.
Well, if they're going to bring Craig, they're already going to be here this weekend. So
there you go.
That helps.
There you go. Perfect. He can just walk right over to the stadium. It'll be great. I love it. Let's talk about this Packers offense, Corey, because here's the tea, as the kids like to say. We can talk about, you know, the offensive line. We can talk about the receivers and how they're being utilized in the run game and Wilson versus Jacobs. All this stuff is fine and good and absolutely worthy of conversation. But there is no thing killing the Packers right now more than the red zone issues. I mean, the fact that they went 0-4-5 in the red zone on Saturday night, absolute killer. When you get down to the red zone five times and on total you end the game with 16 points, you're not going to win a ton of football games that way. Now, the Packers almost did, but, you know, they had a chance to make this, you know, not even a going concern. They could have pulled, you know, totally away with this game if they can just execute in the red zone. But again and again, they keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I would maintain, you know, probably need maybe a kind of fresh look at the approach, because I know for a long time LaFleur just liked to kind of smash Josh Jacobs into the wall and utilize his brute force and his ability to get yards after contact and a little scrum action to get down to the one and then slam it into the end zone. Well, Josh is banged up. This offensive line ain't built to operate that way. We got to find a new package here. You got to find a new way of working. Like, I don't know if it's like going back to 2020. They seem to have tons of really good, neat little kind of rub routes and things to get the back out of the backfield for an easy completion for Rodgers, et cetera. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying this is like an easy button thing, but at some point, all the spread stuff they're doing, Jordan Love throwing wide side to Christian Watson on 4th and 1, like, I don't know, man. Doesn't feel like a high percentage play to me. Like, can we get back to some easy button type stuff? Like, that's where I'm at, because it's just frustrating. And then, of course, you add in all the penalties and marching backwards and the procedural stuff, pre-snap stuff. Like, it's killing this team, Corey. It's killing this offense.
Yeah, 0-5 in the red zone, and you don't punt the ball the entire game. What a weird-ass game.
And the second game this year where they didn't punt and lost. Like, what? Yeah, no. The red zone's killing them. It's like to the point now where they have to score from deep. Like that touchdown to Dobbs. Like if they don't do that, if it's not a Jordan Love to Christian Watson, or Jordan Love to, you know, Melton at the end of the half against the Bears up in Lambeau, if it's not that type of score, man, they ain't scoring touchdowns.
The other thing I think that, I don't know, I love how aggressive that we're being, but I do think if you're 0-5 in the red zone, maybe take the points when you get in the red zone.
Yeah,
maybe
take points. Yes, that first trip, definitely. But, of course, they weren't.
Like they could have taken
the
points
at that point. Yeah, but if they take the points, they win the game.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you're having a problem in the red zone, which
they
even though they were 0-5 this last game, this season, their red zone percentages are not as good as their third down, their fourth down, their other things, right? So maybe you get in the red zone. Maybe don't take it for granted. Maybe, like, hey, you know what?
Points.
Let's put some points on the board, because
especially on the road, yeah.
I think there's not enough nuance. It's like we can either be aggressive or we're going to be conservative. And it's like, we're either one or the other. There's this contrast, and it's like there's nuance there, Matt. Like, it's okay. Okay, we crossed over the 50. Let's go for it on fourth down. Also, like, yeah. Yeah, I really think everything goes to the fact that it is a coin. It used to be, the Packers offense used to be a coin flip on a five-step drop. But it's probably 51% that you could hold it. Now we're a coin flip on a three-step drop. And I think that is what changes this offense 100%. Because if you can at least say, I can have 3 seconds.
Give my guy some time. Right.
Can I have 3 seconds? If you can't say that, what kind of offense can you actually run?
Right. You got to get the ball out of your hand quick. No doubt. And it's tough when it gets condensed. I'll say also, too, though, man, there was that one throw on third down to Watson where it legit bends because of the wind. Like, most normal nights, that's a touchdown, right? But the wind just takes it. Like, there's Watson's open. Like, there's a chance for a TD there. But, yeah, it's rough. It's very, very rough. No doubt about it. One of the things that would be nice is if you could use some of those jumbo packages, extra tight ends, as it were. But you got Luke Musgrave as your last man standing now, Corey. What sucks is they were finally, kind of from the Giants game on, really kind of utilizing the tight end position in a really creative and productive way. But now these guys are dropping like flies. At this point, you got Kennard essentially playing tight end, but all he's doing is blocking as your sixth offensive lineman. And you got Musgrave, who has made some noise downfield. We've seen him be productive in spurts. I don't know what they do now, because most of that kind of, obviously the bigger triple tight end packages are kind of out the window, unless they really trust whoever they bring up from the practice squad this week.
Yeah, they actually, in the last 2 weeks, based on they've stayed with, I think it's like a 68% 11 personnel, and last week it was like a 71%, and you saw little of the 600. I was really looking for it. I think we called out one or two.
We did, yeah.
But they were at like a 9. I think when I saw Dusty's stat, he hasn't updated the Packers data suite, but I think when I saw his stat, it was like 600 was like 8% or 9%. It wasn't very high.
Right. Pretty low.
And even in the 12 personnel, it's like we are going – this team is going – I mean, at this point, this team is going to live or die on 11 personnel, and it's going to be our receivers. It's the only thing – our receivers and our running back room is the only thing that's going to save us. If we think we can pin our hats on fucking Luke Musgrave actually doing any yards after the catch, we are kidding ourselves. We have self-scouted very well.
That doesn't feel like a good bet, as it were, no doubt.
It's so crazy because remember 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago when he had that first catch and then he trips over himself and everybody was laughing? It's like
in the Chicago
time
game,
is a week flat one circle.
Game against Chicago, yeah.
Time is
it hasn't
a flat
changed.
Circle.
But it's interesting you mentioned the 11 personnel thing, because that does mean you have three wide receivers more often than not on the field if you're the Green Bay Packers. And one of those receivers has been, continues to be at times, one Matthew Golden, who it looked like in Denver was ready. Couple big plays, reminder of the great hands he has. Here we go. Going into the Bears game, all banged up, but don't worry, Golden's back. We got Savion Williams back as well. Like, we're going to start cooking with all these wide receivers. And Golden just is a total afterthought in the offense. He gets, two end-arounds, again, I think a yard or two each. But he's not targeted. There's no specific moment where they have a clear plan of, we've got to get Matthew Golden involved. He is just wasting away as this really talented piece that they just refuse to utilize. And I understand the loss of the quarterback. Jordan Love goes down. You very much switch how you're operating on offense. But there's no way you can tell me that there ain't some kind of play call design concept where you can say as a play call, okay, I'm going to get Golden involved here. I'm going to get the ball in Golden's hands. We're going to have a little section of the play sheet. Just three or four plays designed to get Golden the ball. He's too talented to be wasted the way he was on Saturday night. Again, I understand a lot of balls in the air. If you're Matt, you're play calling, you're trying to make things happen. But how does Steno not say something? Vrabel not say something? How does someone on the party line not go, we need to get Matthew the ball here? Like, at some point, he's way too talented to be collecting dust in this offense.
There's just got to be something else going on, because you would imagine by now. I mean, they clearly tried to utilize him in the end arounds and the things that they did that you brought up. But yeah, I wonder if I always think, oh, you know what? They were going to do this awesome Matthew Golden play, and then and then at the line they run a can because they see Man
Jordan's
and they do something else, and it's like
bad look.
The three times the two times they run the Matthew Golden, I just imagine they can out of it, you know?
They can out of it. Yeah.
It's just, you know, because I always think it's very hard as a coach, I feel like, even Steno, to dictate what you want to do on offense if you're gonna allow your play caller. And they allow Malik Willis, maybe not the same leash, but he definitely
he has control of the offense
and he can decide what he wants to do.
Yep. You're not wrong. But it's just frustrating, man, when, you know, seemingly everyone else has plays that are, you know, specifically drawn up to get them the football. like, man, Golden's way too talented, and he's way too deep into his rookie year to say, oh, you know, he's still acclimating to the offense. Man, tell him to run a 9 route and run by somebody. Come on. Get him the football at some point. Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, man, I'll tell you what. No one's ever going to replace Micah Parsons. That's obvious. But, man, Brenton Cox Jr. came in and added some juice right off the bat. Like, talk about perfect timing getting him back out on the field. He was a problem for the Bears for much of that contest. And that's just his first game back. Like, I suspect he's going to look better and better here as we go along these next couple weeks. And God knows they're going to need it. Like, yeah. Just any kind of juice they can get from this pass rush without Parsons is a welcome occurrence. And again, man, I'm not saying he was an all-pro performance or anything, but it was noticeable how, like, effective he was as a pass rusher in a way that they desperately need going forward.
That's good, because we need it.
Very good.
We need it badly, badly.
Yeah, unfortunately, on the flip side, what was not so good was the play of most of the defensive tackle room. They only had 4 active, and I don't think any of them covered themselves in glory. And I know Riley did a few nice things against the run. Wooden had a play or two. Carl Brooks was somewhat active. But, man, overall, that group was pretty disappointing. And if they're going to do what they want to do here these next 2 weeks, hopefully into the postseason, that group as a collective needs to be better. Because you can talk about, like, Halfley and what he's going to do, pulling out stuff out of his bag pressure-wise, right? But, man, if teams can just live in 2nd and 3,
yep,
it's a wrap, man, because you're never going to get into that pressure stuff, because you're always going to be behind the sticks and you're always going to be, you know, dealing with a offensive coordinator who has the playbook wide open because he can call literally anything. So, yep. Yeah, that group needs to be a whole hell of a lot better. And finally, talking about needing to be better on the defensive side of the ball, can Nixon pull out of his tailspin? I mean, it's been a rough 2-week stretch here, 2-game stretch for Keyshawn Nixon. Now, he got taken advantage of in Denver, and then he come to this Chicago game, and they essentially went after him and succeeded in doing so. You know, that's a guy who has played good football for the Packers this season in very specific spurts, but this is the time you need him to be at his best. This is the time you need him to raise his play. Like we were talking about at the top of the show, he is one of the core players on this team, and he is playing his worst ball at the worst possible time. He's got to get his shit together, man, because, like, these last 2 games have been unacceptable.
I don't know that the touchdown was his fault. I still don't know that. Because they both jump on. They both jump, and then you don't know, and I don't know who it is that falls down. I couldn't tell when I watched. I watched it like 3 times. I watched the one play, but I didn't watch the all 22.
Me with Hobbs.
They both. Yeah, is it Hobbs? I think it is. So it's not clear that, because they both jump on the short route, it's not clear who has the. You know, if they're in man, it seems like they're in man, but
it's never straight up man. Like it's always like probably a banjo situation.
I don't think it's man.
Well, I'm very interested to see, because you got to suspect Halfley's going to be asked about it during his presser this week, which should be, we'll get those soon. Well, we'll see. But yeah,
sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll be like,
he's not going to be specific. You're right about that. He's not going to throw him under the bus. But
Know
certainly
we can't. There's no way we're in man if they're both jumping. That's my other thing, because why would that doesn't make any sense, right? So then it's like, and also like, because I go back to something Halfley said where he's like, back to the when Nixon we were in man for the Nixon play where he intercepts the ball, and Halfley's like, you know. Most times, almost 100% of the time, if you're not covering your guy and man, some bad stuff's going to happen. But
no doubt.
It's
so rare that they're an actual, like, straight-up man, though. Like, that's a very rare occurrence. But Nixon overall, it's got to be better, man. Got to be better. We'll be previewing the game on the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter for our diehard members. If you aren't subscribed yet, there is a link in the description of this video for you to do so. Be sure to subscribe. All sorts of Packers goodness in your inbox every Thursday morning. Next one will go out Thursday. Corey, you ready for all this nonsense?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. Luigi's is a Wisconsin-born pizza brand made by local pizza enthusiasts with local cheeses and a flavor that stood the test of time since 1968. Across all their lines, they focus on real Wisconsin cheese, crisp crusts, and easy oven prep, making every pizza night a little simpler and a lot tastier. Mighty meaty, Wisconsin mozzarella, Italian sausage, ham, pepperoni, and bacon crumbles. Get me a mighty meaty from Luigi's. Now I'm hungry, Corey, every single time. All right. You ready for these? Come on now. I know you're ready. Speaking of Keyshawn Nixon, this gentleman here, there were a lot of upset Packers fans on the internet after that game. This one I just pulled because it made me laugh how earnest he is. Let's take a look.
Last week I was trying to go viral. This week I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. Ha ha, no. Get him off of the roster. I don't want him on the 53 man. I don't want him on a practice squad. I don't want him working the concession stand. I don't want him to put on another girdle in that Packers locker room. If you know where he lives, I need you to block that man in his driveway and not let him leave. Do not allow him to pull up to the stadium, because if you do, we are going to lose that game.
He's very serious, Corey. Very he's not serious. Trying to go viral this time. He's very earnest. But on the flip side.
You know, the thing about it is I don't – it's hard. I said this last week. I just don't think people understand the position of cornerback in the NFL. I don't think they understand it. I think what's kind of crazy is if someone was to do a video of the top 10 cornerback plays and the top 10 worst cornerback plays of the week, right? If they're like, these are the top 10, and they just focused on like, these are the worst graded plays and here are the top graded plays, I think you're going to have a lot of people in the worst and the best. Because a lot of times, it's just what it is. Unless you're like Sertan, you know, like unless you're that guy, and there's only like two of those guys, like they're gonna try to beat your ass up.
You're gonna get targeted. That's for damn sure. Especially if you give something up, because then they're gonna keep trying.
Well, and the other thing I think people don't really take into account that I think one of the things of like watching Micah this season, where we talked about how moving an elbow for 200 milliseconds.
The minutiae of
is
the
a
technique.
Move.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And the thing that I don't think people understand about corner is you can make a mistake within 200 milliseconds of the ball being snapped. That is a mistake that you will not recover from 4 seconds later.
Right.
That's crazy, right? Like you can make it's actually crazier. Look at a penalty kick for soccer, right? And they always say to the goalie, like, I think there's changing mindsets about this now, but I remember growing up, they would be like, oh, when there's penalty kicks, you just need to decide if you're gonna go right or left or whatever you're gonna do, you need to decide that. Commit to the thing. That's what corners have to do in the NFL. They have to commit to an idea immediately. They have to figure out what the guy's going to do. And as soon as they make the wrong decision within 200 milliseconds, the chance of recovery is very low. So, you know, name another job like that, right? Name another job, even quarterback, right? A quarterback has to make split decisions. And and I'm not saying that quarterback's any easier, but certainly a quarterback usually can get himself out of a decision he made early. And right. A wide receiver, right? A wide receiver can get himself out of a decision made early. Cornerback is one of those few places where an offensive tackle, right? When you're going against Micah Parsons, like I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to be wrong, but my ability to recover is going to be low against a better player.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong, but that doesn't, you know.
It doesn't negate. I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I don't think people – I think the more that I've looked at that position through the lens, and let's not forget, the NFL doesn't give a fuck about cornerbacks.
Like, no.
Cornerback right. is like a Harlem – is like the opponent for the Harlem Globetrotters to the NFL
Washington
Rules
Generals.
Committee.
Yes, right?
Like, we're they're make like, it as oh, yeah, as we need someone there because it needs to look like a game. But, you know, it's so –
we're going to give your opponent every advantage throughout yeah. the entirety. Yeah.
So I just don't think right. that – I don't think that's ever the lens. And you know this better than anybody. You cannot judge – if you watched a game on a broadcast,
right.
you have no business judging a cornerback or a safety. None.
Right.
Because you don't know what the fuck they're doing. Because you have no wide shot. You can't even tell where they're lined up half the time, especially ours, because they're usually lined off way off of the first yard marker.
Back.
But, like, the coverage doesn't lend itself. So unless you actually watch what – and then, you know, it's so funny because it's like you watch the game, but you're not really able to watch these two positions, really,
right.
in any real way. And then when you actually do watch the tape – you don't know what you're watching because you don't actually know what was being caught. Like, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy, everybody who thinks they know. It's always funny to me. It's like, you don't know.
Well,
I still don't
know.
Believe that
people
we know that
like
Keyshawn
guys who've
Nixon.
Like, played in the league, you know, they know. Some
they
of these
have
guys
a better
do
idea.
Breakdowns, whoever, you know, they know. They can suss out what coverage it is and things like that. It's the whole reason I stopped doing film clips, you know, because it's like, well, we got Matt Bowen out here doing film work. Nobody needs to hear from me, right? You
yeah,
know?
Totally.
So... that's but I understand the point about the cornerback position is spot on, like 100%. Couldn't agree more.
And no, and the problem that I have is no one brings that lens to it. Everybody brings the lens right. of like, oh, you're just trash. Oh, you're just this, and it's like,
well, yeah, that's just an emotional reaction, though. That's why you know. That's why we watch. That's why we engage. It's an entertainment, and that piece of the entertainment got us upset, and we're reacting to it, like. That's all. Like, I get that. I get that emotional, visceral
oh, yeah,
reaction.
Totally. No, I get
but
it.
But if you're talking about, like, laying blame and what's he doing on a down-by-down basis, yeah, no, of course. The internet doesn't do a phenomenal job of nuance in that situation.
Keyshawn Nixon wasn't even in the top five for what we lost that game. Not even in the top five of people responsible for losing that game for us.
Bold take. Bold take there, Corey Banking.
Sorry, he wasn't, you know? 3rd and 20 and you get a fucking face mask, okay? That's right up there.
Yeah. No doubt. No question.
Romeo Doubs, he's out there.
Yeah, he's number one, obviously.
You know, I think those are the top two things.
Yeah.
You know, red zone,
but,
0-5 in the red zone.
I've seen so many people reference the face mask. I had a Bears fan talk about the face mask in my mentions today. It's like Brinson's reaching out trying to grab his shoulder and he just gets his face mask. Like, that's not malicious. That's not intentional. It's just it's bad happenstance and it sucks, but he's trying to make a play. Like, I don't kill Brinson.
I understand.
Now,
but
it's a reason it committed to a, you know, it helped lose the game, no doubt.
It's definitely in the top three things of why we lost the game.
Yeah, no question, because otherwise you're off the field.
Now,
and the game's pretty much over.
Is it, do I blame Brinson? No, you know what I mean? No, yeah, you're right. But it's like, yeah, I kind of do. It's like, dude, like, just I get you're trying to make a play, but bro, that's not
out,
the play
dude.
You're trying to make. I don't think he'll make that mistake again.
Let's hope not. That's the whole point, right? Can't be making mistakes twice. You can make them once. You got to learn from them. Okay, all this said, I'm sorry, but I'm not the world's biggest AI fan, and this is definitely made from AI, but this made me laugh so hard, I had to include it. Let's take a look.
Oh, dear.
Introducing the Green Bay Packers Hospital playset. 6 collectible figures, a fully loaded training clinic, and even a rooftop helipad for the team chopper. Build team spirit on game day and every day.
I'm sorry. It's just hilarious. With the built-in helipad for the team chopper. I'm sorry. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. It's still making me laugh. It's just hilarious. I want to get that for my daughters. That's so great. Okay. Next up is one that I know you saw, and there has been an updated version of this, but I wanted to play the original because I know Corey liked it. I loved it. This is brilliant. This is so spot on. Let's take a look.
All right, let's head to the phones. You're on the Bill Michael Show. Who is this?
Hey, Bill. This is Sean from Luxembourg, Casco. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hello, Bill. This is Janine from Lancaster.
Hey, Bill. Frank from Oshkosh.
I'm not sure why we got rid of Rodgers in the first place. I mean, Jordan Love is a guy. He's the only place he's going to take you is the toilet bowl, and Aaron Rodgers, he was going to take you to Super Bowl.
I tell you what, Bill, that Parsons injury was just a knife to the heart, knife to the heart.
Bill, I'm just being honest here. LaFleur has no idea what the fuck he is.
All right, I appreciate the phone call, Frank. No profanity on the air. But as I was saying about LaFleur, like, you know, part of me wonders.
I mean, talk about art imitating life. Come on. That's perfect. That's just perfect.
Yeah, that was funny. I saw that going around Twitter, too, the next day. It was going around.
Yep. So good. And then he did an update after the Bears game that was also good, but that is just spot on. That is so great. Elsewhere, also on the radio, shout out to Alex for keeping things in perspective here. Let's take a listen.
A pissed off. It's going to ruin Christmas. The Badgers are going to ruin Christmas. Packers are terrible.
Scott. It's not going to ruin Christmas. Come on, man. You've got a family. Scott, you've got a family, man. It's not going to ruin Christmas. Santa's real. It's not going to ruin Christmas. Come on, Scott. Oh, he had me. He had me until it's going to ruin Christmas. Where's your Christmas spirit, Scott? Come on, man. Jeez Louise. I get being mad. I get being upset. I get being angry. I get it all, because I'm with you. But it's going to ruin Christmas. Scott! You got a family, man.
What I love about that is his leaning on the fact that Scott has a family, which I hope he knows Scott, and I hope he knows that Scott does indeed have a family. But I will say this. I very much agree with the sentiment of that kind of take. I will also say, though, if today or yesterday had been Christmas, ooh, that would have been rough, Corey. The fact that Christmas isn't until Thursday.
I agree with fucking Scott. They ruined Christmas for me. They fucking, and I got a family. They fucking ruined my Christmas, for sure. The Packers are the most annoying team to be a fan of right now. They are the most fucking annoying-ass goddamn team right now. I'm the most optimistic Packer fan you will ever meet in your whole entire life, period.
That is correct.
And I am so annoyed with this team. And I'm going to be ready on Friday, but I'll tell you what. Yeah, fuck Chris. Christmas is dead to me. Christmas has been ruined by the Green Bay Packers. Thank you. I'm with Scott on that one.
Corey, you have a family. Finally, I love this piece. This is old school. We used to do this all the time, but haven't done it in a long time. I'm giving a shout-out to an article. Remember those, Corey? Remember people writing on the internet? No. Shout-out to Jacob over at the Packers SI portal. Wrote a piece about Jordan Love getting hit and the fact that if that had been like TJ Lang and David Bakhtiari back in the day, someone would have got after it with the Bears line, and no one did. And you can talk about, okay, they want to keep their cool, all of that, and you're not wrong. I totally understand it. It does feel like maybe this is a bit of a generational divide. But, yeah, it would have been nice to see one of those offensive linemen get up in guy's face, maybe go after him a little bit. I'm not saying you got to be doing anything dirty to retaliate, but you certainly could, you know, let him know, protect your quarterback a little bit. I highly recommend you read it. Like, I know people are going to have differing opinions, but I appreciated Jacob's thoughts on the subject.
I'm sure I will agree with it. I just think that helmet to helmet, I just think you should get kicked out of the game. That he should have got kicked out of the game as soon as that happened. I'm sorry. That should be an immediate ejection. I fucking can't stand that shit.
The Bears fans talking about
if you're trying to get rid of helmet to helmet in the NFL, if you're trying to get rid of it, that's the only thing that's going to get rid of it. Because you clearly
the Bears fans say, well, Jordan Love ducked his head, which is true. His head ducks. However, you also have a defensive lineman who is using his helmet as a weapon because he's not seeing what he's supposed to be hitting.
He doesn't have to have his head down. Yeah.
He is literally using the crown of his helmet. So spare me, Jordan Love ducked his head. Yeah, how does your guy know? He's launching himself with the top of his helmet, which is illegal. And the flag was thrown correctly. That stuff drives me insane.
It just should be an ejection. I just can't stand that it's not an ejection. Like, for that play, right, on a quarterback. Right. Yep. Like, it's a defenseless quarterback. Like, I just – what gets an ejection then? What does? Anything? If you yell at a ref or you hit a ref,
punches,
I guess.
Do. Punches, yeah. And touching a referee is supposed to get you ejected. That's correct.
Like, and yeah.
You got to protect those refs, Corey.
I just
all right. Let's see what folks.
The thing is, the thing about the Bears is, like, I just can't. I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything.
Okay.
But.
...
In this conspiracy-driven world that we currently live in,
yes,
it just feels like the defensive line was there was something intentional about what the defensive line of the Chicago Bears were trying to do to our quarterback.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, yes, there was something intentional. They were trying to
you
get to the
quarterback.
You
choose whether to put your head down to take out a quarterback.
Sure.
You choose that.
Probably. It's a violent game, man. Like, I just have a real hard time, like, condemning the whole group and saying this guy was seriously trying to be dirty on, like, purpose, blah, blah, blah. It's such a fast bang-bang thing. All of that said, Howie Long thought it was dirty. Howie Long kind of went off on it, and he's a Hall of Famer. So
that,
yeah, I'll acquiesce to him. Like, don't listen to me.
Seemed,
like, I'll listen to Howie Long.
Dirty. Listening to Howie Long, it made me feel like it seemed even dirtier. But just it seems it's especially on when you're going after the quarterback. I think it's a little bit harder when you're in space and you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's
hard
to judge
back,
a man, man's intention. Because, but like, you are rushing the quarterback to sack the quarterback, and there's no world where using your helmet is part of the thing unless you are intentionally using your helmet. So,
I
hate the fucking Bears. Bears are the fucking worst team in the NFL.
Just remember, all they've done is hold serve. That's all they've done, and it took a miracle
for them to do
that.
Look, here's the thing. Had we beaten the Bears, the likelihood, and then we have to play them, the likelihood of beating them three times in a row is very, very, it's rare. So
remote.
there is a positive there if we have to play them again. But.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't make it easier.
This team just doesn't feel like there's any closers on this team. That's the sad part to me. The killer.
Well, they got two more weeks to prove you wrong.
Where is it? I want to see it.
Well, we'll see it Saturday night. That's the plan, anyway. What do we got? What are folks saying in the chat, Corey?
Luke Carnes, happy holidays, cheers, and carry the G.
Luke comes up here with all the positivity. Thanks, Luke.
Oh, there's
appreciate
a lot of positivity.
Merry Christmas.
It's nice how. Mario Lunar, Packers can beat anyone. They left the Bears off the hook. They were moving the ball down the field, just couldn't execute in the red zone, 100%.
You ain't lying about that last part, damn.
100%. Reliable random. The sweetest revenge will be knocking them out of the playoffs in their house. I still believe happy holidays, and as always, let's fucking go, Pack, go. I like that.
There you go. Come on,
personally, I'm just so done with the Bears this season that I just want someone else to kick their ass in the playoffs, and then we kick that person's ass. Like, I don't personally have the need to like, we beat them once, they beat us, whatever. Right. Like, okay,
well,
fine.
It's intensified, like, because it's so late in the season and it happened, like, one after, like, so close together. Like, it's just a lot of Bears-Packers in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, like, let somebody else beat them. It's fine.
Yeah.
They're so annoying. The Bears are so annoying right now. It's like the most annoying team. Like, I hope they go to Indiana because that would be the greatest thing for them. Amy Gooding. Everyone keeps talking about the onside kick, and I understand that, but I'm still pissed and was done after the 3rd and 20 face mask. A lot of emojis.
Yeah, that was not a great moment. No question. You had the game in hand right there. Literally. In the wrong way.
Jeff Jones. Taking the 3 points is the money ball of the NFL. Nowadays it is.
Oh, yeah. How about points? Imagine. Points? Remember points?
Dustin Logan. Think Jordan Morgan got his soul back yet?
Yeah. It was one bad play. Like I said, he played a good game. It's just unfortunate that the one bad play was in a very pivotal moment and everyone saw it because it got put online. It's life in the league.
That was
bad.
Crazy.
It was bad. It was real bad. No doubt. Real bad.
I watched
bad.
It like 10 times. And I almost started crying the 8th time I watched it. So I was just like... Because I remember that moment. I remember the moment of everybody being all pissed because we didn't take Cooper DeJean when I was in the when we were in the draft and all that
draft
stuff.
Party.
And I was like, hey, we need these. And look, we do. We need guard / tackles, whatever the hell he is.
he's a tackle.
But we thought he was a guard for a long time.
Well, they
Danny
wanted to get
G.
him on the field. That was it.
Danny G, team is a reflection of their head coach, Soft. It's what I've been preaching for the last year, but enjoy the wine. Merry Christmas, gents, Lieutenant Dan.
I love how Dan goes up and down, up and down. Like a couple weeks ago, he's like, I apologize, I'm on Team LaFleur. And now he's like, oh, he's soft. Dan, we know you're reactionary and emotional. We love you, brother. We will enjoy the wine. You should enjoy it with us.
The whole enjoy the wine thing is so hilarious to me. I read this. Jason Wilde responded to a fan who was like,
"Ooh, that was hot, man. That shit was hot."
And I read all the responses, and like the ignorance of people is just so funny to me. Like
whole lot of ignorance on display in that thread.
There's so much ignorance in that thread, and it's so funny because like, you know, I'm gonna stick up for Jason because of all the beat writers I love almost all of them. The actual beat writers I think are incredible, and what they have to do day to day to get coaches to say anything, right? And you can see this, like, I literally watched LaFleur's press conference yesterday, and there was like a TV reporter who asked him a straight up direct question, and he answered it
and
straight up direct.
Yep.
He said no.
I had the
why would you
same thought? Yep.
And whereas Wilde and Doherty and Bill. They and now Bill's like the guy that it's like, okay, we haven't asked these kind of things, and he's kind of like comes at it in a jokey way, and so the coaches are a little bit more disarmed by Bill, right? And
exactly.
but a little bit, especially late at the end, so I get that. Yeah. But Wilde spends so much time crafting his questions to get the answers that people on the internet are accusing him of not getting, by the way.
Yes,
and
exactly.
He is one of the few people on this earth, okay, and I hate to say this about him because he definitely has a huge head in life, okay? But he deservedly so, and I think somebody should clip this off and send it to him because it's how I really feel about him. Deservedly so, he has an inane ability. It is an incredible ability to be able to ask a question of a coach, not piss them off, make them understand what he's trying to get at, and get them to answer the question that we all want to know. He also is very good. Jason Wilde is probably the best at this, in my opinion, of really understanding what the zeitgeist of Packer fans want to find out. But Bingo. Knowing what Packer fans want to find out and getting the coach to tell you the answer, that's hard. That's like some of the hardest shit you will ever see in your life.
It is.
And anybody who says otherwise does not, they don't watch press conferences. They don't know what they're fucking,
well,
they
don't understand.
They have no clue.
They just
don't understand
it.
How it is or how it goes down. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with everything you're saying about Jason, 100 billion percent. He is an expert at what he does, and what he does is not easy. But the thing that kills me is how little people appreciate it, judging by that thread, right? And the way people get upset because they started by asking about the emergency quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. And I get tagged in a tweet like, you guys ask soft questions. Well, first of all, I'm in New York, sir. I'm not asking any questions. But also, like, if you come out guns a-blazing at the top of the presser about the onside kick, about special teams, about Rich Bisaccia, with direct questions like everybody says they want, why didn't you ask XYZ? Because you would get the response, to your point, Corey, that Matt gave to another, quote, direct question, where, why not this? Because why? And that's it. That's all you get. You're not, no one's served by that. But Jason and the other folks in there who do ask thoughtful questions get thoughtful answers. The problem, that the thing that drives me insane is what the people on the internet that are complaining about it, they just want, like, drive time radio style questioning. They want the guys in the room to be as mad as they are. Their job isn't to be mad. Their job is to get answers and hopefully thoughtful ones, which they do day in and day out. And most of the Packers fans do not appreciate it at all. It drives me insane.
Well, in the last time you had someone ask a direct angry question,
right,
in my
right,
opinion, was the MBS with Mark.
Yes.
And
right,
he'll never live that down. How can you live with MBS? And he will never live that down because, in my opinion, it was an unprofessional way to ask a question for that room.
Correct. That's the other thing. They're professionals. They're not angry dudes on Twitter. They're professionals. Man, you really got me going now. That was good.
It's just weird to me. I saw that whole thread and, you know, I mean, of all the people, Jason Wilde can handle himself, so I don't need to defend Jason Wilde.
Right.
I just wanted to kind of point it out to be like, I just thought it was ironic that one of the few guys that actually gets the coaches to answer questions.
To actually answer questions.
That's who they're riding for, not getting him to answer questions. I'm
what?
Just like, guys, you like, how do you even, you have no idea. How, like, you've never watched a press conference. And also, you shut your face, too, if you're talking about New York and Chicago are harder on them.
Right.
That's just not how it works. That's not how it works. You don't, like, a coach makes a lot of money, and they are human beings. And if you come at me, okay, if you're on the coach and you come at me and you have no understanding and you're just going to ask me stupid fucking questions, I have no responsibility to answer your question. And you see it. Like, so...
Yep.
It's like people used to say about Rodgers, like, why you have to come at Rodgers a certain way or you're not going to get him to say shit.
Oh, yes. Very true.
And not only did you have to come at him a certain way, but you have to be a certain person too, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
He has to know you. He has to, it builds. I mean, he's the most like that.
Particular.
I think Matt is particular. Yeah. Thank you. I think Matt is actually pretty, he's very rarely short with people. It tends to be people that are on TV and that haven't been there a while and don't understand how to ask the right question. Halfley's a lot more understanding, but Halfley doesn't
gets ahead
much
of it. That's what I love about Halfley.
Yeah,
love Halfley coming out every week and being like, all right, run defense this week. Right, boys. And like, he just gets ahead of it. Like, that's real smart on his, you know, side. My last thing I do want to button this up with one thing. You and me, Corey, we sit here on the internet and we talk junk. We talk on a show that is meant to, God forbid, possibly, hopefully, entertain people, right? Press conferences are not shows. It's not a night at the theater. It's not a television show. It's not a YouTube stream, other than the fact that you can watch it on YouTube. It is where the reporters go to get information from the coaches and or players. It is not meant for your enjoyment.
If you don't like the fact that they're not being
answered, it is for the fans. It is, in theory, for the public, right?
And you can hear it. Yes, of course. Yeah. But it's not designed to entertain you.
Yeah.
It's not designed for your enjoyment. Like, it is information, period. If you want entertainment, go watch a movie.
Sometimes it is really entertaining, though.
It can be entertaining.
It is funny. I don't watch as many as you do. It's your job to watch them.
Yeah.
I do not watch as many. I watch more press conferences than I do training camp because I do.
This is true.
I tend to find some therapy, although it didn't help this week because I watched both of Matt's press conferences. But it tends to help me to understand the mentality and where coach's head is at. And it tends to help me therapeutically when I'm down on the team or I don't like something that happened. I do find it helpful, so I do find it somewhat entertaining. But yeah, I just think it's very funny. It's very funny, the ignorance. I mean, look, ignorance on the internet. Not saying anything new here.
Revolutionary.
But sometimes it just comes out at you, and you're like, "Wow, that's the most ignorant shit I've seen today."
It is shocking. Yeah.
Reliable random. The interceptions have to be coming soon, right?
You would hope. I mean, look, we've seen Valentine breaking on the ball a couple times here when he's gotten close, right? But, man, at some point, someone's got to seal the deal, especially if you're, a former All-Pro with, yet again, another week where the ball is in your hands. Catch the ball. I'm begging you from my soul.
I just hope Xavier McKinney is taking advantage of that jugs machine.
Yeah. That's three dropped interceptions in the last two games.
Like,
for McKinney.
He just go on the jugs machine. Like, I'll go there with you. I'll get the water.
I'll
do whatever you need me to do. I'll operate it. Do you need help? Like, is there no one that will practice with you? Like, let's do it. Nash Jack. I'll say it again. Give me some Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis is – no, I don't want Mercedes Lewis. Get somebody else off a practice squad that's like a tight end, like a young tight end. Get me a blocking tight end that can't catch. I'll take it. We have a non-blocking tight end that can't run. So give me a blocking tight end that can't catch.
Can't catch.
And then we'll be good.
Perfect combo.
Run 6-1-1.
Devastating combination.
Devastating.
Love it.
M.A. does things. Is RG making his case to be moved on from?
Yes. All right, man. That's my Matt LaFleur, Kurt answer. That's a very direct question. I'm giving you a very direct answer. Yes.
That's sad. Mama Sean. Merry Christmas to everyone. Aaron and Corey, thanks for all you do. Go Pack Go. Thank you, Mama Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mama Sean. Merry Christmas.
Nathan Chalmers. Corey and Aaron are the best. These guys tell it like it is, and then don't give the hot take BS that literally every other show on the planet does. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Nathan.
Appreciate you.
Pulled
thanks,
out
Nathan.
There.
Really appreciate it.
On Culture Barbarian, this week on the Bombastic Barbarian, we cover why you go for the points when you are on the road, laugh at douchebag bear fans with little bro syndrome, and share my recipe for tropical kamikazes.
I could use one of those right now. That sounds great. I am down with that.
Speaking of, everybody should watch the tailgate shot video, peanut butter and whiskey.
Hell yes.
That just posted on. Jeez, I'm surprised we didn't have that in the blogosphere. Interesting. We don't advertise our own things, market our own things.
I thought you didn't want to do
Marshall
that.
Duke.
I'll line you up next time. It's all good.
No, it's fine. I just, you know how I am when I'm annoyed, Nagler. I gotta get my digs in.
Mr. Banky.
I'm surprised. What's funny is that game, we haven't had a game where we like get annoyed with each other yet. I feel like that's coming.
No, we did get a little testy with each other in that Broncos game after the interception, and I was upset that, you know, they took the shot.
Oh, yeah, because you were obsessed with the aggression, and I was like, yeah. I was already ahead on
That was testy, but it wasn't annoying.
You came back. You came back on the aggression, though, later in the week, though. So I felt vindicated. I felt vindicated by that one.
Understandable.
But no, I think the reason why that is, I need to like go back and look, but I feel like if the Packers are shit the bed early, that's when we tend to get the most annoyed with each other. And the fact that we shit the bed late.
See, the last couple of games, they've been in control for most of it and then ended on a bad note. So we've been decent.
Yeah, because I feel like most of the times when we get annoyed at each other is when we go back to our like 20s contrarian ways for no reason.
1,000%.
Like, I'm annoyed and you're annoyed. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to beat you up on semantics for no reason other than the fact that I'm crabby.
The way that is so fucking accurate. Oh,
it's literally.
God.
I was thinking about so it because I was like, we actually haven't done that, and it. I don't. It's not that we're. I think it's the Packers. The Packers have just been doing
it's
pretty 100% good. 100%
the Packers.
End.
Yep, 100%.
Marshall Duke, since Fitzpatrick is done, sign a tight end. Bring Big Dog back for run blocking? Question mark.
Probably not Big Dog, but they'll definitely sign someone. That is.
Isn't
100%
he in his 20th season?
Something like that. Yeah.
Massimiliano Margagliati. Merry Christmas, guys. Go Pack Go. Thank you.
Thanks,
Appreciate
Em.
It.
Haven't seen you on Happy Christmas. Hour in a while, buddy. Hope you can join us again. It's been a while. Corey,
Marshall,
some breaking news. The Green Bay Packers have activated defensive lineman Colin Oliver off reserve as physically unable to perform and placed tight end John Fitzpatrick on injured reserve, which we knew was coming. But Colin Oliver on the 53.
Who's Colin Oliver?
He's a draft pick from this year. He's a defensive end, pass rusher.
Oh, for real? We picked him in the draft in Green Bay?
In Green Bay, Wisconsin?
What round?
I want to say fourth or fifth, somewhere around the
nice.
Middle part of the draft. Right
nice.
There.
I like that. That's nice. That's nice. That's nice. We didn't get any tight
maybe,
ends.
Maybe add a little juice there, maybe. Let's hope.
Can he play tight end?
No. And he also probably will get blown up in the run game. So hopefully, 3rd and 20, he's out there instead of Brinson, and he gets a guy on the ground. That's what I'm talking about.
Lord. Marshall Duke, what does Matt have against quarterback sneaks on 3rd, 4th, and 1, especially when it's less than a yard? To be fair,
Corey's been
asking
about this forever.
But to be fair to Matt,
to be
a
fair,
lot of times on. A lot of times on 3rd down and 4th and 1, the one is doing a lot of work. It's really like a 1.5, a 1.8.
1.5.
And it's really hard on a 1.5 to get a sneak and really not be a coin. I feel like, I don't know, we're not the tush push team. So, you know, to be fair, if it's not, but it's definitely not his go-to. I think that must be an Aaron Rodgers carryover.
Possibly. That would be a good question. I'd love someone to ask that question. That's excellent.
Well, I think how I would ask the question is you'd have to do some research on analytics a little bit, but looking at 3rd and 1 and our propensity, like what do we think our it would be a great question. It actually is a great question. Like, Matt, what is the thinking? Where does the quarterback sneak fit into your thinking as far as like
Seems to be somewhat of an automatic play around the league, yet the Packers don't seem to employ it with any kind of regularity. Is there a specific reason for that? And go.
Then he's like, no.
Exactly.
Ba-dum-chi.
No. Fuck you, Nagler.
Okay, that's what I would do. Very good. I would be the Bill Belichick approach. Yeah. I'd be worse than Belichick. I would try to be entertaining while not answering anything.
Amazing. Incredible.
It would be great. Mimsy Rowe, seems like Golden is either a diva or hurt. Need TD. Hurt?
I mean, he was hurt, but he's been good now. He's been cleared. He's been playing. But when you talk about a diva, do you have any references here? Do you have anything you want to contribute as far as what makes you think that? I mean, I haven't seen anything that would suggest he's a diva, but maybe you know something I don't.
I just saw Colin Oliver as the next Micah Parsons. Marshall Duke. Matt should answer those unprofessional questions like vintage Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm thankful.
Amen to that. We're all just here so we won't get fined.
Danny G. Wine chum netted epic rant. Thanks. Cheers, boys. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Danny.
don't understand.
Epic rants. As it were.
Stefan's son, Merry Christmas to you, Aaron and Corey, and all the Cheesehead TV follower here in the chat. Go Pack Go.
Thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Go Pack Go.
Got a Nate Hobbs sucks in the chat. I don't think he sucked that bad.
He actually played a decent game, funnily enough. Like, I get people not loving him because of all the kind of brouhaha when he was signed and releasing Jair and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, coming off that game, that's not a game where I'm, like, upset about Nate Hobbs. Like, talk about down on the list of things to be upset about.
Yeah.
He's so far.
Can you imagine if our three free agents, well, like Mecole Hardman, Nate Hobbs, right, and Aaron Banks played as well as Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith played that year?
Like their first year in the – or even yeah. Devondre Campbell, you know, back in the yeah. day?
Yeah, the first
year. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be great. Unfortunately, that has not occurred. And now we have what's his name? Hardman's back to he's back on the roster in Buffalo. So I'm sure we're going to be treated to, like, you know, big returns, and we'll be thinking, oh
yeah,
only.
For sure.
Can't wait.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Appreciate everybody jumping on, and yeah.
Definitely appreciate each and every one of you on a Monday afternoon. Thanks for joining us early in the week. Shout out to our Patreon members. Be on the lookout. Information for the happy hour will be going out later today. Cannot thank you enough for your support, as well as the Care of the G Club members here on YouTube, making each and every watch party just a fantastic time. Really appreciate you, regardless of how the Packers are playing. You guys are the best. Corey, you got anything else before we head off into the week?
No.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. Merry Christmas. I know it's annoying right now, as Corey likes to say, but a lot of ball game left. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.